This is Diola Saint introducing Saint Margaret Clitheroe. To better understand the life of Margaret Clitheroe and the reason for her conversion and martyrdom, we should realize how life in England during the 16th century revolved around the king, and in particular the legacy created by Henry VIII. In his desire to ensure himself of a male heir to the throne, he had petitioned the Pope in Rome to declare his 18-year marriage to Catherine of Aragon null and void. This was refused, and to justify his attraction and intended marriage to another, he declared the king was sovereign in all matters throughout his realm, and had the God-given right to exercise complete spiritual and political authority over all his subjects. This attitude was formalized when the English Parliament passed the Acts of Supremacy, which stated that the Church of Christ is merely an assembly of local churches under the king who guides it. Therefore, it is he who declares its teachings, appoints its bishops, and directs the people. Then Parliament placed the penalty of death upon anyone who did not accept this law. Among the few who opposed these acts were St. Thomas More, St. John Fisher, and some members of the Carthusian religious order. By the year 1553, when Margaret was born, the religious monasteries and teaching orders had been disbanded, and the usual religious-run schools were closed. This meant that she received her education at home in domestic skills. Her father was Protestant and the sheriff in York. Later, her husband, John Clitheroe, himself a wealthy man, held public office in Protestant York, sometimes attending the Sunday worship services by himself, since after her conversion she refused to attend. His own brother, William, became a Carthusian monk, and perhaps influenced Margaret. Over time, she found little which attracted her to the ministers of the state-approved religion and their message. She was moved more by the example given by the priests and lay people who had been martyred as they defended their Catholic faith. Often she and her friends could be found at night praying at the sites where these martyrs had been killed, among whom was her own confessor and several priest friends. Her husband was a tolerant man who respected his wife's spiritual change of heart and willingly paid the fines for her non-attendance at the Protestant services, even though she once suffered imprisonment for 18 months for refusing to attend. She created a place in her home where a priest could offer Mass, and a special chamber to conceal him should they be surprised. Another location for Mass was available in the local inn. She was well aware of the risks she was taking, but considered her trials as a part of her duty in the war declared against God's Church. Many were drawn to her because of her wit, good looks, her gaiety, and goodness. Even her servants, with whom she could be strict, would never give her away, and her non-Catholic friends and neighbors were on the lookout to forewarn her of impending danger. Her husband, who certainly recognized her numerous good qualities, remarked that her only two faults were that she fasted too much and she did not attend Protestant services with him. One day the authorities created an opportunity to gain evidence by searching her home. They found nothing until they came upon a room in which several local children were being schooled. They seized a young boy and terrorized him until he told them that Mass was said in the house and even named the persons who attended. Then they discovered the priest's room in which there were vestments, missals, and vessels used for Mass. Margaret was arrested, and the judge who knew her encouraged her to plead guilty, explaining that a jury would surely not condemn her solely on the testimony of the young boy. She refused, knowing that the jury would ask that members of her own family testify. She did not want them tempted to commit perjury to free her, or to have to live with the knowledge that their testimony had condemned their own mother. The sentence for refusing to plead was passed, and she was sentenced to die by being pressed to death. Her response was, "God be thanked. All that he shall send me shall be welcome. I am not worthy of so good a death as this." As she went to the place of her death, the large crowd was surprised by her cheerfulness. She gave away her money to the poor along the way, which annoyed the sheriff, who said, "Hurry on, Mrs. Clitheroe." She responded, "Let me deal my poor arms before I go, for my time is but short." She was tied on the ground to stakes with her arms in the form of a cross. A stone was placed under her back, and a heavy door was laid over her, upon which was placed weights of 700 to 800 pounds. Her last words were, "Jesu, Jesu, Jesu, have mercy on me." The authorities buried her body, but it was discovered and found to be incorrupt, then reburied in a location which since has been lost. Margaret was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1970. Let us pray that our faith be so strong that we can stand before others and profess it in public, should the need arise, as did Margaret. This is what Christ did to show his love for us. Let us pray we can do the same out of love for him.